Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah! Boom, bottom, bump. Boom, bottom, bump. Boom, 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 mer. Boom, bottom, bump.
They should have opened the song with the Boomer Sooner song from Oklahoma. You know, Boomer. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm
good. You know, right? I mean, well, did you have a good Valentine's with Rachel?
Oh, no.
Oh,
no,
come on.
I was
going
to say, it doesn't sound like it from that response.
You can't be, you got to be kidding me that you, did you screw this up again?
Not exactly.
Oh, God.
That's a yes.
Yeah. Now what did you do?
I didn't do anything. Let me say this.
Well, that could be a problem, too, in itself.
All right, let me explain. You ready?
Okay, go ahead.
So we get off the air yesterday evening, okay?
Because you had said, just to back up real quick, you had told us on the air, big plans, big night with Rachel. As soon as you are leaving the show, you are going to make amends for the lack of quote-unquote romanticism in your life. You know, despite you took her to a restaurant that was called Osteria Romantica and she did not know because she wasn't wearing her glasses.
Right.
But you were going to have a big, 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 big night on Valentine's Day.
Yep. Didn't go out that way. Didn't exactly work that way. We got off the air. I stood in front of the mirror for about 15 minutes or so, analyzing the wrinkles in my face.
Oh, boy.
To determine, what the hell's wrong? Am I really a boomer? Am I like an old guy here? Like, what's my problem? You know, bags under my eyes, wrinkles, you know, like a whole thing, you know? Yeah. So I analyzed my face for about 15 minutes in the mirror, and then
15 minutes? That's a long time to analyze your face.
Well, I'm looking.
Were you high?
No, not at all. Not yet at that point.
Oh.
But I'm looking at my face. I'm trying to decide, like, do I have any creams or anything that I could put underneath my eyes, you know?
What, you think like an instant cream that's going to, like, just take away the bags?
I mean, just something, anything to make me look just a little younger.
If we had the antidote for that, we'd be billionaires. Come on.
But boomer. I was like, boomer. In fact, I thought that I was so cool that I didn't know what Lindsay defined as a boomer. Like, to me, boomer, baby boomer, World War II, like our parents' age.
Yeah.
She's like, no, don't you
get it? You came with the ammo on that. You're like, no, actually, I am not.
Right, yeah, because I didn't know that it was just purely slang for, hey, old guy, you're a boomer.
Yeah, you hashtag well actually'd her, yes.
Yeah, so I stood in the mirror. I looked at my face for a little while. I tried to figure out what I was going to do with my wrinkles, where I was going to get some Botox injections, maybe where I was going to get some surgery.
You don't really get Botox, do you?
No, I don't, but maybe I will, you know? And then I went over to Rachel's house. It's Valentine's Day.
Here we go.
All right. George, I'm armed and dangerous.
Yeah.
With something very romantic. Remember I talked about buying a card yesterday in the store.
And you were going to handwrite it. Yes.
Yeah. $7 for a Hallmark
card. Correct.
$7.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I got off the air. Yeah. And I looked in the mirror. I worked on my wrinkles. And then I got back to the card. And I sat down and I wanted to express my feelings for this woman. And what she has brought to my life, the goodness that she's brought to my life.
Right.
So I took pen to card and I wrote in handwriting, which, by the way, is completely unreadable. I mean, it looks like a doctor wrote
now,
a prescription.
As in like script or like cursive?
No, just in what is it called when it's not script and cursive? What's it called when it's just regular writing?
Regular handwriting.
Yeah, regular handwriting.
Oh, yeah, okay, I felt like that's script writing, but I mean, whatever. That's fine. Script format. But whatever.
So I write my feelings.
Yeah.
I think you're amazing. I think you're so brilliant.
Yeah.
I think you're so gorgeous.
Right.
You're such a fantastic role model for my three daughters.
Like, sounds great.
I'm writing all these wonderful things.
Yeah.
Now I go to her house.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And she's walking in as I'm walking in with a couple of big bags of sushi. Okay, she had gone to get some sushi.
What is sushi? Sushi?
Sushi. Oh. You know, but young guys like me, we abbreviate things like this.
Oh,
you know?
I see.
Millennials.
I don't know anyone that calls it sushi other than you, but go ahead.
No really? One. You can't take the extra like millisecond to say sushi.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I've got that extra millisecond to do something, you know, that I want to do for me.
Sure. Okay.
You know?
All right, whatever.
So, so I go into the house. She's got these bags of sushi, and I've got this card, and I'm really excited to give it to her. And inside of her home are her two sons, and they're both great kids. And so we wind up all getting into a conversation, and before you know it, it's like 10 minutes to 8 p.m. Like, this is all happening, like, not long after getting off the air. And I look at, and my phone alarm goes off, and she goes, what's going on with your alarm? Oh, sorry, I forgot. I got to go pick up my daughter. So there's no exchange of cards. There's no, I'm not even eating, because if I eat and then I run, that's rude. I literally buzz in, say Happy Valentine's Day, drop off the card, which she doesn't open, and I see that she has on the counter a card with my name on it.
Right.
But she's not offering to give it to me, you know? So now I wind up leaving to go get my daughter, because then I got to take her home.
Did you forget you had a daughter?
I didn't forget. I was just trying desperately to find this child a ride.
Yeah.
Unsuccessful. So, you know,
how old is she?
She's 15.
Uber.
Yeah, why didn't you just send her an Uber?
She refuses to get into an Uber by herself. She's a 15-year-old young lady who refuses to get into an Uber
by herself.
I can
respect that. I can respect it. There's no question about that. She couldn't Uber with a friend?
No. Well, there was no friend. It was her. She was at this thing. So she needed to get a ride home. So I'm the dad. I got to go get her, you know?
Right. And how far is this now?
I would say from Rachel's place to where I had to go pick her up at the JCC, I'm talking like maybe 15 minutes or so.
Okay, not too bad. Go ahead.
No. So I leave. Yeah. I've the card's on the table.
Wait. Are you telling Rachel you're leaving for good, or are you telling her you're coming back?
No, I'm telling her. I'm like, I got to go get my child, and then I got to get her home because she got hours of homework ahead of her. So, like, and then I do this, George. This was a good move.
Yeah.
I hug her, and I whisper in her ear, tomorrow will be our Valentine's Day.
Right.
So I told her that tonight would be our Valentine's Day.
Uh-huh.
And she told me, well, I'm not going to open your card, and I'm not going to give you your card until we celebrate Valentine's Day together.
Oh.
So Valentine's Day, for all the talk of not being a romantic and not doing anything, and what should you get and what should you give? Should you go for dinner, prefix menu, getting gouged, flowers on Valentine's Day versus other days, and all the love advice that the great 710 listeners gave me, all goes up in smoke because I had to get a kid, she had kids, no Valentine's Day.
Huh. Well,
isn't that amazing?
You know, Cap, you should have taken a note from Kanye, or Ye, as he calls himself now, and just sent her a giant pickup truck filled with roses.
There you go.
That's psycho.
It is also psycho. There.
Oh, not a great idea? It's psycho?
I mean, for you, maybe it's okay because you're still with her. Yeah. For Kanye, not so much.
It is a little creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the mother of his child, but also kind of stalkerish and weirdish.
Kind of.
So, as it turns out, I mean, all this talk of Valentine's
but,
Day.
But here's what I would say about Kanye.
I
hope he gets help because, I am a big believer in mental health, and I'm actually seeing a therapist in 2 days. He needs to see somebody. Like, somebody needs to help him. Or he needs to help himself. But
you
want to
talk anything out? You want to talk about anything before you
go?
I'm just saying.
Well, I'm good. I got plenty to talk about when it comes to myself, but I want to finish this story. Oh. So go, you pick up. Now, you go and you pick up the daughter, and that's it. And then it's tonight is the night, right?
Well, that's what I thought. So then this
more.
Afternoon, she and I got together because we were working on a couple things together, she and I.
Oh, business-wise.
Yeah, this was business. Like, let me put it this way. This was so much business that to get an appointment with her, I had to go onto her Calendly. You guys know what Calendly is?
No, what's that?
Calendly is when you want to make an appointment with somebody, so you get a link on their email, you click on it, and then it says, okay, I'm available on these dates between these times. So I booked an hour with her today.
Please tell me you're seriously, like, you're joking about this, right?
Oh,
this
I'm not joking
not,
one bit.
This is not serious.
No, I'm 100% serious.
This relationship does not sound like
it's
a healthy
over.
Relationship.
Come on a second. Hold on a second. She's a very, very busy person, and I'm a busy person, and I needed an hour of her time for business, not for, you know, sweet nothings, not for, you know, get down and dirty in the middle of the day. This is like business. So I had to book an hour on her Calendly, And then we got together for an hour today and we worked on a bunch of stuff that needed to be worked on. And then I said, hey, tonight it's Taco Tuesday. Let's go out and have some dinner and have a nice Valentine's Day. At which point she told me, oh, it's my girlfriend's birthday and we're having a party for her between like 6 and 8. I was like, this is great for me. This is going perfectly for me.
Yeah.
I'm out of this and I got nothing to do with it. I am out and I am guilt free.
Yeah.
You know what they say, Cap?
Tell me.
If someone really cares about you and they want to spend the time, they'll make the time.
Ooh, true.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah, you may be right, Linz. You may be right.
I'm sorry, sir. This is over.
Why do you say that?
Because, look, Cap, I just know. She is pushing you away. She knows you have a daughter. Granted, you should have figured that out before getting to her place, but she knows you have kids. She has kids herself, so she understands what being a parent, a single parent, is all about. Mm-hmm. So she shouldn't have gotten upset for you needing to go pick up your daughter.
Oh, she wasn't upset.
Okay.
I mean...
No, she wasn't upset at all. I think you guys think it's over because I had to book time with her on her Calendly.
That is kind of strange.
That's part of it.
But she is an accountant, and I needed accounting services today. So I needed to, like, book her time from business, not like, hey, can we just have lunch? You know,
you got too many 8949s to, you know, deal with?
I don't know what the hell I got. I just got a whole bunch of paperwork and documentation, and it's just way beyond my pay grade, and she understands it all, and she just does it. So
okay.
I had to legit book time with my accountant today, not my
girlfriend. Who happens to also be your girlfriend.
Right.
I think, though, more so, Cap, is the fact that, again, like, you know, especially if she was saying, like, you're not romantic, she's used to it. Now, this is no disrespect to anyone who's married, but a lot of people that I know who are married say, you know, you got to try different things and, you know, do things to spice it up or whatever to get out of, like, the monotony of everyone's routines, right? Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you guys are, like, way past the monotony phase and you're not even engaged, let alone married.
True. Although I will say one thing, though. You know, one thing I got to say that you guys may not really understand.
Okay.
Is that she put out a post last night on Instagram.
Okay.
Wishing me a happy happy Valentine's Day. Not
That'd be funny if it was happy Thanksgiving.
That would have been great. Then I really would have known that Laura and Linz are right. This thing's over. She's wishing you happy Thanksgiving on Valentine's Day. Yeah. But she put out a Valentine's Day photo of she and I, which very frankly, had she asked me, hey, do you mind if I post this picture? I would have said, don't do it. Because I'm shirtless in the picture.
Oh, boy.
I think you just said that because you want everyone to look at your shirtless photo.
Well, I don't know how anybody would find it because I'm not even sure if I'm tagged in it. And
so
by the way, if
tagged,
I am seen, I mean, it's believe me when I tell you, I'm not proud. Okay, I'm feeling like very like as if somebody like Tommy and Pamela lead me, like they stole my shirtless picture and they put it out on social media. But she put out this really lovely post about Valentine's Day and this great guy. And, and you know, he's up for any adventure that I'm in for when he's not working his ass off. And so
it's a little high maintenance, this relationship between the two of you. I'm not even referencing just like, you know, I'm not taking it on her. I feel like the two of you need to figure this thing out. You know?
I know. We're busy people.
You two kids. You're a little crazy.
Well, maybe we should go for some boyfriend-girlfriend therapy.
I was going to say, I know some really good couples therapists.
You see, I feel like if you're in therapy before you're married, you probably should be
That's
done with
true.
This relationship. No?
Yeah, I don't agree with that necessarily.
Mm-mm. No?
I mean, I hadn't done it before marriage. I hadn't done it, actually. I haven't done couples therapy at all yet. I just do my own therapy. But my own therapy helps me whenever there is a speed bump or an issue that arises, right? Like, I've learned kind of how to handle things better just based on that. So, I mean, are you seeing someone?
You know, I haven't seen a therapist in a long time, George, but I miss my therapist. I really love this guy.
Okay, then call him back.
I miss him. Maybe I should go see him.
Yeah. See what he thinks about Rachel and your relationship.
Well, how about my relationship with Lindsay and Laura? I got a lot of women.
You do have a lot of women in your life, yes.
I know. Three daughters, two female co-host producer types, co-workers.
What's the dog? Is it a boy or a girl?
Dog's a guy. By the way, my dog has fleas.
Oh, no.
I thought all dogs got fleas, like no big deal. Apparently, it's a whole big problem.
No, yeah. What are you doing, bro? Your dog got fleas.
I don't know. How do dogs get fleas? I don't know. How do they get them?
From other dogs or places that have fleas?
Yeah, like grass area, grassy areas.
Like the outside. Yeah, right. Is that bad?
Well, you're supposed to give your dog every month. You're supposed to give him like Frontline or one of those medications.
Or like, flea collar or at least medication. Or something. Yeah. You got to give him medication.
Obviously, you're not doing that.
Medication.
Well, I'm not. I recently took him to a Frenchie meetup on like a Saturday morning in a park. And I think somebody else's Frenchie gave my dog fleas.
You got to be careful who you're bumping Frenchies with because you're going to get dirty.
It's fine if you give him the medication, right? You know, you take the little squeeze thingy and you put it down his back once a month. I get a calendar reminder every month.
Yep.
Wow, I didn't know about this. I'm now having to put like a pill in his food.
What? Kaplan. Yeah.
Bro, are you serious?
Yeah. I thought all dogs got fleas. I didn't think it was a big deal. I mean, I really didn't know.
All dogs can potentially get fleas. It's not like a ideal scenario, though.
Mm-hmm. The problem with fleas is that they multiply very quickly.
Yes, very quickly. And then all of a sudden you get fleas in like your house.
Yes, everywhere. You gotta throw away the furniture.
They get into the furniture, the carpets, the rugs, whatever. Yeah.
Oh my God!
You gotta give
them
a flea
bath.
Yes.
No, of course we are.
You gotta literally take all vacuum everything, use the flea powder.
You gotta scrub everything down now.
Go online and look it up because there's a lot going on when you get your dog has fleas.
Oh my God! It's like kids getting lice. What the hell's going on
here? Very similarly, actually.
It's worse. Yeah.
Because there's more fleas than lice.
Yeah, and they jump.
Oy vey, I had no idea.
Do you have little bites on you?
I don't.
Oh, okay, because the fleas can cause bites.
Okay, I'm not letting this dog sleep in my bed.
I mean, you could just call your boys at Corky's, right?
Yeah, I got my pest control guys. Yeah, they could come out here and take care of things.
Right. They can help. I'm not even joking. I would call them. Yeah.
Wow.
Because how long has the dog had fleas?
I don't know. Like in the last couple of weeks, he started to
like. Oh, my God. And they're definitely all over your house.
Oh, God.
They lay eggs, and then a couple days later, then you got more fleas, and then those fleas lay
eggs. How would I know, by the way? Is there any way I
should know?
How long
have you had this dog again?
Well, I mean, he's 8 years old, but I have, he goes back and forth between me and my ex-wife. He's only been here at my house for a couple of days,
Here's how you know.
Wait, so you guys share the dog?
Right. We don't share the children. We share the dog.
You take a white piece of paper and you put it down on the ground or wherever you're trying to check if there's fleas. Yeah. And you'll know in about 10 seconds if you have fleas.
Take a white piece of paper, put it on the floor.
Yeah. Or wherever you suspect the fleas may be, like if it's your bed, floor, whatever.
And then what happens?
You'll see them on there.
Oh, they come to the white paper?
Yeah, you'll see them on that.
You'll see on there, or you'll see flea dirt or flea poop, basically. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. I don't need to go to a therapist. I got you guys.
No,
I can't believe you need this much help navigating through just the most simple things in life.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah,
I'm not surprised either. I got
to
be honest.
This is why I had to book an hour with my accountant today. I mean,
girlfriend?
Now it's starting to make more sense. Actually, I got to be honest. Uh-huh.
Right now, you're not my girlfriend. Right now, you're my accountant. You know.
Yeah.
That's why. You need to start charging Kaplan for therapy, guys.
I thought you only did role play with me.
No, I'm a role player. George.
Yeah. Clearly. All right. Coming up next. Well, if you have any advice for Kaplan on the flea situation or the girlfriend situation, hit him up at 877-710-ESPN. In the meantime, how serious are we to take this Sean McVay retiring thing? Because it seems to be heating up a little bit. We'll get to that in a moment.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It is amazing to me that you've never seen an episode, even just after a football game or something.
Yeah, I don't know what my problem is with animated series, but I don't watch any of them.
Right.
The last one I think I really watched, and it's going way, way, way back, was Beavis and Butthead. I mean, I know who Bart Simpson is because of the Butterfinger commercials.
Cap, are you going to watch the new Beavis and Butthead when they're adults?
That depends. What's it on?
It hasn't come out yet, but I'll find out when it comes out, but it's supposed to be coming out soon, in the next couple weeks. But they're middle-aged guys, I guess. We're catching up with them later in life.
That sounds very funny, by the way.
The Simpsons also have great occasional sports things too. I'm surprised even that hasn't crossed your mind to watch. Yeah.
Hey, by the way, George, when you live your life on the radio like we do, you get a lot of advice from people. So now my Twitter timeline is filled up with people explaining to me the problems I'm now about to have with fleas, number one.
Oh, okay, good.
In addition to that, I'm also getting a lot of relationship advice. I did receive in the mail today, though, what I'll call a Valentine's Day gift for my girlfriend. She got me a book called Scale or fail. How to build your dream team, explode your growth, and let your business soar. So, I don't know, that seems like a nice gesture, don't you think?
Sure.
I like reading business books. I don't know, man. Everybody thinks I'm getting broken up with, or I need to break up with the girlfriend because I had to schedule with Calendly a time to get together with my accountant.
So I'll tell you something funny. We always talk about like their computers and your phones and all that stuff are listening to you. So I had clearly never heard of Calendly, right? Like, I mean, just the way I reacted. I looked at it. I Googled it and all that. And within, I'm not even joking. We were done with the segment. I go on Twitter and I like, you know, refresh Twitter. And there's a promoted tweet for Calendly.
They are listening to everything we are saying and doing. Just got to deal with it. Or don't have a phone. I guess that's your other option.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
That is so anyway, crazy.
You know what is crazy? Is Tell that me. This Sean McVay thing seems to be real.
Which part? Him contemplating?
The contemplation, yes.
Yeah, or the coverage of the contemplation.
Yeah. And by the way, I want to apologize in advance to Mike Lee at Sunset Cuts, who tweeted us and said, this therapy session, the last segment, is much better than hearing about the Lakers and a Super Bowl that ended so long ago. I mean, we're not going to exactly talk about the Super Bowl, but we're going to talk about the coach who won the Super Bowl, who may be retiring at 36 years old, which would be unprecedented, certainly. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, we were having this conversation yesterday, George, about McVay retiring. And, you know, you were saying to me, Kaplan, you're only looking at the McVay situation through your eyes, meaning mine, not through his, meaning McVay's,
correct.
Right?
Yeah, we don't know what people are going through in their life.
Correct. And I said to you yesterday that I think this discussion of Sean McVay retiring seems ridiculous to me because from where I sit, here's a 36-year-old guy who yeah. I look at as a football addict right. and, by the way, a right. football lifer.
Right. But by the way, a football addict can also make you burn out quicker.
Perhaps. But I will tell you, you know, and I like to pride myself, George, you know, on yeah. being a flexible, open-minded person.
Yeah.
I was having discussions with a few of my friends who are a little bit younger than me, more like okay. McVay's age.
Not boomers.
No. These are young millennials. I mean, in their mid-30s. I mean, these yeah. are young kids.
By the way, there's a dude on the line that wants to talk to you about the boomer thing, but we'll get okay. to him in a second.
You got it. So this friend of mine said to me, he said, I don't know why you think this Sean McVay potential retirement, why you think this is so ridiculously far-fetched.
Yeah.
And he started to lay it out for me.
Okay.
He said, look, I'm 35.
Yeah.
If I made a ton of money already, I already achieved a lot of fame. I've already been hyper successful. I want to start a family, get married, and live my life. Why would I not?
And by the way, he can choose to go into television, which is way less work, right? You're still working in football, and he could be like the voice of Monday Night Football, no offense to your boy Louis Riddick, and probably make close to Tony Romo money.
Well, that's another part of this that I really, again, my instant reaction yesterday was, there's no way Sean McVay at 36 years old, a football lifer, a football addict, a football man, just winning his first Super Bowl is going to retire. Certainly not right now. But when you think about it, Sean McVay, I looked it up today, he's like one of the top paid coaches in the NFL at about $8.5 million
yeah,
a year.
Yeah, he's in like the top five, I believe, yeah.
But Tony Romo, to be the number one NFL analyst, he makes $17 million a year at CBS.
Now, that's the reported amount. We don't know how accurate that is, but safe to say it's at least in the ballpark, to your point. Yes.
Right. And the thing about Tony Romo is he works 18 weeks, and then from now...
Maybe 20, you know, with the playoffs and maybe a preseason game or whatever, but 20 weeks, right.
Yeah, okay. So from right now until the kickoff of next football season, Tony Romo's free guy.
Yeah, he can golf all he wants.
Tony Romo made twice as much money this year as Sean McVay did.
Right, and he's got no worries.
Nothing. Sean yep. McVay is going to get done with the parade tomorrow, which, by the way, gosh, I just hope there is a monster crowd for this parade tomorrow. I hope, yeah. because look, when you
And by the way, you could catch the parade right here. Once they get to the Coliseum at noon, We will have the festivities on the station right at noon. So,
because for all the talk about how can the Rams elevate to Laker-Dodger level, when you replace the Hollywood sign with Rams House, that's cool.
That
is
cool.
And everybody gets to see it, and it'll be reported everywhere, in every paper, every TV channel.
Yeah, I'm definitely, like, I want them to succeed. Like, why wouldn't we want, I mean, look, think about it this way, like, just from a selfish perspective, you know, even if you're not necessarily, like, friendly with anybody there, selfishly, their success, including the Lakers' success, you know, is beneficial to us here at this radio station.
Right. I mean, when you're in business with these teams, their success is our success. Absolutely right.
Yeah.
So the thing is that if you're Sean McVay, when you get done with this parade tomorrow, and, you know, you take a little bit of time, but before you know it, it's dealing with free agency, it's scouting for the upcoming draft, and I don't mean like the head coach is involved in every last little detail, but the football season never really, really ends.
Yeah.
So Tony Romo's on vacation for the next, you know, however many months after making twice as much as McVay.
Correct.
I hadn't really thought about it from that perspective, but if you were ESPN, hypothetical, and you offered Sean McVay $15 million a year to become your number one analyst, and he's making twice as much money doing TV, and he's got one millionth of the stress, and he still has all of the fame if he cares about that, plus he's got a lot more commercial endorsements probably as a TV guy.
Right, and he gets to actually come on with us as opposed to Mason in Ireland, which we know he really wants to do.
Right, so all in all, my first instinct is Sean McVay retirement talk is preposterous.
Yes.
But when a younger person explains it to a boomer, Linz, you like the way I use the word now?
I love it.
And I used it in describing myself.
Yeah.
Good job, Cap. You get points.
Thanks. When a younger person kind of explains it from that perspective, like, hey, if I'm 35 and I've made all this money and I've already got all this fame, and I could make twice as much money for one millionth of the work, why would I not do that? And I went, it, like a light bulb went off and went, oh my God, geez, maybe this Sean McVay thing is for reals.
Yeah, it is. That's what I was trying to tell you yesterday, but you wouldn't listen to me. You'd have to listen to somebody 10 years my junior.
Yeah, I don't want to listen to a boomer like you.
Yeah, I'm actually a Gen Xer. Everybody knows that. Yeah.
No.
I actually fit the Gen X mold a lot more than you do.
Mm.
You're kind of at the outer regions, the nether regions.
Dude, it's only going to get worse for me later this week when I tack on another year.
Oh, yeah. No question. All right, listen, let's tack on another segment. You know, look, Sean has talked about mental health, right, and just kind of like wanting to live his life a certain way. I felt like really uncomfortable today, Cap.
Why?
Because there was a lot of mental health conversations today in sports, and I wasn't very comfortable with almost any of it. Let's tackle some of that on the other side, because I feel like, honestly, if you're just listening, I feel like we can just relate as human beings sometimes and not treat these guys in sports and girls in sports like objects. So let's do that for a little bit. I know that sounds kind of boring, but I think you'll all be able to relate. And I think that's what you like about the show, is that we're kind of relatable. So let's do that next. We're back in about 2.5 minutes.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're no good. You're
baby,
no good.
Baby, you're no good. Yeah.
This is what Rachel's about to be singing at Cap.
Oh, it's the Rachel anthem? Is that what you're saying, Lindsay?
Could be.
Uh-oh.
I haven't heard this song in a really long time.
It's a good song.
Linda Ronstadt, huh?
Lindsay, I love listening to, like, the late 70s actually had really good music, I feel like. I know this one's probably early 80s, but, like, that genre of, like 76 to, like, 82 had, like, good female vocalists who were great musicians on top of that as well.
Wow, 1975. Linda Ronstadt, You're No Good.
Oh, there you go. So it was sort of in that range. I thought for some reason this was 81. Did she have a hit in 81? Maybe. Anyway. So let me ask you a question. Did you watch any of the, or have seen any of the clips of the Ben Simmons thing today in Brooklyn?
Yeah, I've been watching a little bit of it, kind of checking out Steve Nash and what he's having to say about it. And, man, I was seeing Ben Simmons today. I was like, who's that? Oh, right. Ben Simmons. Haven't seen you in a long time. Good to see you, kid. Yeah.
So the reason I bring it up is, like, I watched the whole thing, mm-hmm. right? And I thought he handled himself really well during that press conference. And as you know, the New York media is not always so nice. You know what I mean? And they asked very pointed questions to him, including multiple iterations of, hey, there are people that think you're faking this whole mental illness thing.
Right.
And he answered it, I thought, perfectly. Like, hey, man, you know, sometimes you're in a dark place and, you know, you just try to handle it and deal with it. And he credited some of his teammates, like former teammates, like Tobias Harris or whatever. And like just guys, get, you know, whatever, get him through it. And then, you know, so I watched like social media and I watched a lot of TV. Right. And I started watching all the different reactions, right, on social media, on, you know, stuff popping up on video and, you know, on TV and the different channels or whatever. And there was a lot of questioning about the validity of his mental health. Even one example went as far as to say, well, you know, he was on the bench the other night with the Nets and, you know, he looked like he was smiling. And I'm thinking to myself, like, is that some sort of indication that he was being a phony? Like, wouldn't you be happy if you were in a place you were happy when, to your point, we haven't seen him in a long time because he wasn't really happy where he was. And I just felt like there was a lot of, like, people trying to be, like, mental health sleuths, right? Like they're trying to, like, investigate, like, poke holes in, like, what he was saying. And I was just like, man, this is kind of gross. Like, I know that we do this for a living, and I get asking the tough questions, and I get that those questions even have to be asked. But then, like, to double, triple, quadruple down on it when he's already answered it. And he didn't do the Russell Westbrook thing where he started to get agitated. You remember when Russ, we were joking the other day, he just kept getting more agitated, right? Like, Ben was, like, super calm, smiled, you know, gave the answer, and, you know, seemed, I thought, pretty forthcoming about his situation to the best of his ability. I thought it was also telling that when he was asked by Malika Andrews here at ESPN about whether he's spoken to Joel, he said no. Joel Embiid, that is. But, like, I don't know, man. Like, I just feel icky, like, talking about, like I felt icky watching the reaction. I get it's the reality of his situation, and, you know, he doesn't seem uncomfortable having the conversation. I just feel uncomfortable with the reaction to the conversation.
Well, look. When a couple nights ago, remember when LeBron and KD were picking their all-star rosters, right?
Right.
Remember?
And the Harden thing, right.
And James Harden's name comes up, and everybody's kind of goofing on Kevin Durant. And I don't remember who said, I think it was Durant who said, well, he hasn't played or he's hurt or something like that.
No, LeBron said, isn't he hurt? Is he going to be able to play?
Yeah. Yeah. And then Barkley jumps in and says, oh, no, now he's fine. Now that he was traded, he's fine, right? So the assumption is the reason that he's got a hurt hamstring is because he doesn't want to play for the Nets. But as soon as he's traded to the Sixers, guess what? Hamstring's fine.
Right, but it's not fine because the Sixers have already said he's not going to play until after the All-Star break.
But you understand the point I'm trying to make here.
No, I get, and I love Charles, you know that. But, like, yeah, it's funny. It is funny. But I also think a hamstring is not the same as your brain, basically.
Right, but yeah. The thing is this, is that for all of these months that this whole Ben Simmons drama has been going on and playing out in Philadelphia, which, by the way, dates back to the end of last season. This isn't just this season. For all the talk about mental health, you realize that there were people out there that never bought that as reality. They thought of it as an excuse for him choosing to not want to play for the Sixers. And that's just, I'm not telling you that that was the case. I'm telling you that that is how people, not all, some, perceived Ben Simmons. Oh, he doesn't really have a mental health related problem. He has a problem with his ego. He doesn't want to play for this team. He doesn't like the coach. He doesn't like the organization. He doesn't like what the players said about him. Aw, his feelings are hurt. So with that, when he goes to the new team, the questions are, so what's up, man? What are you dealing with? What's the problem? What's going on? Talk to us. Tell us. Because just like Barkley,
well, I feel like he did. Like he said, hey, you know, I've had some dark days and I'm just trying to like figure it out. And this is a new beginning and I'm looking forward to it. Like basically, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said.
All I'm trying to say is that just the same way everybody doubted Harden's hamstring injury.
No, but though, I can't equate those two. Like to me, that's not that is absolutely not on the same stratosphere. Like it, you know, like let me tell you something, man. I've had some really dark days in my life, okay? Like, I'm not even joking. Like, I'm being straight up with you. Like, this is, you know, I know we have a lot of fun on this show, but we can kind of pause for a second and talk seriously. Like, I've had a, and I'm, maybe you have too. I don't know. Like, I've never asked you, but you seem like a pretty happy-go-lucky guy. But I would imagine, you, like everyone else, you have dark days. And, you know, I have been in situations, just let's just keep it to the business, okay? Let's not make it super duper personal because we all have dark moments. Like I've lost parents, you know, I'm dealing with a situation with another parent at the moment, right? Like we all have that stuff, right? I think that's all relatable.
Okay.
But, like even just from a professional perspective, I've been really dark moments, man, where I'm just sitting there like going like, man, do I want to keep doing this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I don't know, you know what I mean? And, you know, eventually I worked through it, right? But there is this, you know, show business, and this is part of show business and so sports, I believe, it will test your resolve. And I think it will test your resolve now more so than ever in a way that it never used to for Charles Barkley and those guys. You know what I'm saying? Because, man, I don't care what anybody says. We're going to have research cap in about 10 or 20 years about how social media impacts people's, like, brains and feelings and mental health, and it's not going to be pretty is what I would say.
I would agree. What I'm getting at though is this. Can we at least agree on this part of it? There are people, be it media or in basketball themselves, that had, and I'm putting this in quotes, question marks about Ben Simmons. Does he have mental health related issues? Or is this just him being an unhappy guy with the situation he's in, and as soon as he gets on to the next team, boom, everything's fine?
Yeah, but who are we to make that determination?
I don't know who we are, because I'm not one of those people. What I'm saying is, though, is that the questions that were asked to him... See, I want to be more sympathetic. I want to be like, look, I don't know what's going on in that guy's brain. I don't know what's going on in his world. Is he seeking therapy? Does he have some sort of an issue? Look, I've been friends with Jay Glazer for 20 plus years. I never knew until he started talking publicly that he had issues. Never. Yeah. You know?
Because yeah,
I think the assumption should be that most of us have issues. I think that it's whether we're willing to deal with them, confront them, and not suppress them, right? And by the way, if you don't have issues, God bless you, bro. I'm happy for you. Like, well, I know I have a boatload, and I have had to deal like with a lot of crap growing up. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. and just in life. Right? Because we all have it. I'm not saying that you shouldn't find a way to overcome it. Although there have been some dark moments in my life where, you know, I thought of ridiculous things that I, you know, obviously would never act upon. But like it's just tough. Like and not everybody handles it the same way. And I'll tell you this, if I were 25 years old, growing up today, famous, like people just automatically assume, you got millions of dollars, life is okay. Nah, man, I know a lot of people with money who are more messed up than me growing, you know, and they've grown up with way more money than me, right? Like, I grew up in blue collar family, you know what I mean? Like, and so, I don't know. Like, I just think that.
I understand what you're saying,
we just summarily dismiss people. I think finances, to me, become the biggest impetus on this conversation. It's like, you shouldn't feel, you know, why should we feel sorry for you? You make millions of dollars, bro. You know?
Yeah, but I think look, if you're a young person and you're in a major media market like Ben Simmons has been in Philadelphia, where everybody who listens understands Philadelphia's a tough place, you know? It's a tough place to play sports, especially if you're not championship caliber, man. They jump you as fat, and they're vicious.
Right. Fan is short for fanatic. Yeah, no doubt.
And so it's not just the fans, it's the media. And remember, the media is probably made up of older, boomery type people who are less compassionate.
Correct.
And maybe also don't necessarily believe it quite as much.
Yeah.
Because the generation previous was like, hey, what's your problem? I don't know. I'm sad. Well, get tough. What's your problem?
Right. That was the resolution.
Yeah.
Yes.
To your point, Sedano, though, like you could say the same thing for McVay and even Aaron Donald. Like yesterday, you guys were having a debate about Aaron Donald, and Cap, you were saying like, why in the world would he retire? Like maybe there's stuff, you know, like he has going on in his life that we don't know about. Same with Sean McVay. Like there's always things that like we as regular people don't know, and that could have a lot to do with it.
Right. And here's what I would say. Sean McVay, we kind of briefly touched on it yesterday. You mentioned Jay Glazer. You know, Sean talked about it. Him and Andrew Whitworth and Jay Glazer, where like Whitworth was saying, yeah, man, you know, I have these foggy gray days and it just sometimes it gets really depressing. And, you know, and McVay was like, you have those too? Like he was like astonished, right? Like, oh, I thought I was alone on this stuff. Hey, I want to keep having this conversation. I don't want to go anywhere. Okay, so yeah, look, we could finish this conversation. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I just think, to your point, Cap, that you're right. Like, if you're Ben Simmons, and by the way, if you're any young dude, right, or young lady in the spotlight, when you and I were growing up, remember, there was all these stories about child actors, right, how they would turn to, like, you know, drugs or whatever. Right. That. Like, how many of those were there?
I remember, like, being a kid. Remember Different Strokes? Remember that show, Gary
Coleman?
That
show was full of young people who ended up having major issues.
Right. Like, Todd Bridges was one of the stars of that
show. Dana Plato passed away, right?
Right. And you're always thinking, like, what's wrong with these guys? They're, like, superstars. They're celebrities. They're making big money. They're famous.
Lindsay Lohan. What's their
problems, you know?
Right. Lindsay Lohan, more current. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I just think, though, that when you're in sports, and we're using Ben Simmons as the example, because
you said you felt icky. But real quick, to me, that's like we were, at the time, we didn't know, like, to your point, like, what's wrong with them? Now we kind of look back and you can say, oh, yeah, maybe I kind of get what was wrong with them.
Well, you just wonder, though, and I'm going to say it like this, why when interviewing him, there's this this suspicious tonality to the question. There's this assumption that, and I don't know why it is, because honestly, like, I'm not in Philly and I wasn't covering it day to day, but there seems to be this assumption that he was using this as an excuse.
Like a shield, yes.
And I think, you know, just in a broader conversation here, remember a couple months ago, and maybe it was 6 months ago, a year ago, what's the young lady's name? She's the superstar tennis player, Osaka?
Naomi Osaka, yeah.
Remember how she didn't want to do press conferences anymore, and she sat at a press conference and said, hey, you know, I got some issues going on here, and the last thing I want to do is have to play it out in front of you guys, the media. And I'm paraphrasing what she said, but you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like at that moment, there were then question marks about, okay, well, now are other athletes going to say, hey, I can't do this because of my mental health-related problems? And that suspicion, I think, is why people would question Ben Simmons about this rather than it being a hamstring, where Charles Barkley makes fun of James Harden and goes, as soon as he gets traded, his hamstring's fine. Well, the assumption then was, well, as soon as this young kid gets traded, all of a sudden, depression's gone.
Wait, but what about Kevin Love? Because, like, Kevin Love, you could say that he's kind of like the poster child for being an NBA player that was, like, really the first one to significantly speak up about his mental health issues. And he didn't play for, like, a season and a half in Cleveland. And people, like, speculated and wondered, like, is he ever going to play again? Is he ever going to play for the Cavs again? He was making, you know, like, $40 million a year or something. And, like, I don't think that he got the same crap that Ben Simmons is getting. People just, you know, which is great. I'm glad that they treated it. But, you know, a lot of people still refer to, like, well, if it wasn't for Kevin Love speaking out about it, you know, I think that a lot of people thought he opened a lot of doors. So
yeah,
why?
DeMar DeRozan, too, by the way, was also another guy who was, you know, after, like, around the same time as Kevin Love. You know what I mean?
The question is, then here's the question. Why is it that the media in this story, those that were covering this Simmons situation, why is it that they were questioning this situation as if it was not true?
Because I don't know. Because he dated a Kardashian. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, because he's on, you know, put stuff on Instagram. You know how many people I know, okay, that post stuff? I mean, this, like, literally, that is, like, a response. Like, I'm looking at a thing on Twitter. I'm not going to call out the person that said that. But literally, one, a media member from Philadelphia literally saying that he was overwhelmingly supported there, and he was. Fans backed him up when everyone else in the NBA was ripping him until it went completely south. But this person also referred to the public life that he leads on social media. That's his choice and creation. Now, listen, man, come on. Like, how many people do we know, okay, that post stuff? I mean, just forget about famous people. Mm-hmm. Just people you know that post a certain life on Instagram, like everything is great, and you know their life is a disaster behind the scenes.
Yeah, I got to say, like, my best pal.
That's a terrible take, is what I would say to that media member.
But my best pal growing up from the time we were little kids till now, this guy went from absolute dirt poor family and knocked it out of the park and became a guy who's like, you know, pushing being a billionaire. He's like that crazy wealthy, right?
Right.
And I'll talk to him on the phone. I go, how you doing, man? What's going on? Oh, I'm miserable. Oh, I'm miserable. What's going on? Oh, just don't have a miserable this. Like, I look at him and I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, where you came from, where you are today, all your success, all your freedom, all these houses and boats and everything else that you got, private schools for your kids, how could you be miserable? But it's not just the circumstances, it's the wiring inside that we don't see.
Yes, but it also goes back to what Sedano said, that a lot of times people look at the finances and feel like, oh, everything should be okay. And on top of it, just going back to Ben, like, why should he stay somewhere where he's not happy? If you're not happy somewhere, you're going to bounce. Like,
here's the other part of the equation that doesn't get talked about, okay? And maybe this will get me aggregated. Who knows? I hope it doesn't. But don't you think, like, clearly there was a rift between him and Joel Embiid. Is that fair to say?
Yep, seems that way.
Okay. How much of it do you think is Ben mostly private, right? Like, you don't, throughout his time in Philly, did you see him do a lot of interviews?
Not really.
No. Did you see him post a ton of, like, hot takes on social media?
I mean, I haven't.
Right. Meanwhile, his counterpart, Joel Embiid, who I love, okay? I think he's a great player. I think he's a great dude. But built and wired a little differently. He's certainly way more media friendly. Would you say that?
I would think so.
And considering they're at odds, don't you think that potentially could play into the equation a little bit?
You're saying that could it mess with somebody's head?
No. What I'm saying is it's easier to control a narrative about a situation internally when you're the more media-friendly person. Mm. When you're the more media-friendly person, the media trusts you more, which allows you to potentially put a version of the story out there that you would prefer.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I get it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, think about that. Like,
I do.
Like, you know, Joel being more accessible to reporters on and off the record potentially
makes him likable to those reporters.
Correct. Whereas Ben is not doing that. He's going out there playing basketball,
which makes the reporters think he's a jerk.
Correct.
Yeah. No, I get it, man. I do. Listen, it's hard. Look, in all real life talk here for a second. You know, you're right, Laura. We look at these guys and they're like, hey, you're 23 years old. You got $20 million in the bank. Man, what's your problem, you know? But the pressure of being out in front of the public and everybody knowing how much money you make and therefore everybody having an expectation based on how much money you make, I mean, it's rough, you know, for these guys. And I just don't know how many people are compassionate because they just look at the money, to your point. I can tell you guys, when I was in college, I'll make this quick. When I was in college, George, I had the worst game of my career that anybody could have ever had, okay? I'm a 21-year-old kid. We're playing up at the University of Minnesota, and let me tell you how bad things were. You ready for this?
Yep.
In one game, I missed 4 field goals. You know how bad that is? You know how
Oh, that's terrible, yeah.
That is
not good.
I remember the coach saying to me the next day, he's like, well, he said, you know, if this were the NFL, we would cut you. And I'm like, yeah, coach, I got it. There was nobody on the staff to help me work through it. In fact, the next day in the newspaper, I remember our coach said, well, we're opening it up for a competition this week. Well, the kid from Penn State, our rival, he missed 3 field goals in their game. And Joe Paterno said, he's our guy. We're sticking with him. And the pressure on a college kid. I remember that night I got back from the away game. We went out to a bar, and everywhere I went, everybody was like, what the hell happened to you, man? What happened? And I remember walking around the next morning, Sunday morning, it's like 5 a.m. I'm still wearing my suit. I'm like I'm stumbling through the streets. And what was the first thing I did? Like a complete idiot. You know what I did? I went to a newspaper machine to get a newspaper to see what they were saying about me. Dumbass.
Right.
But the pressure that you feel as a young guy, because everybody's looking at your paycheck. So I don't know if Ben Simmons has major mental health problems or he doesn't. But it certainly didn't come off today as sounding very compassionate from those that were asking him the questions.
Right. But I felt like he handled it unbelievably well, considering that was the case. Like, I thought his answers were thoughtful. I didn't watch that and say, whereas I watched James Harden, who is not dealing with any mental health issues that I know of, or at least not that he has proclaimed publicly. And I was like, he was like trashing Brooklyn. Yeah, you know, this was, you know, I had to make that pit stop. Basically, I'm paraphrasing. He basically said I had to make that pit stop because, you know, that's the way it worked out. I'm like, bro.
Maturity.
Yeah. Like, Ben showed way more maturity than mm-hmm. James Harden today.
100%. For someone that's 25, I was telling Lindsay, I'm like, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's just juxtaposed to James Harden, you know what I mean? And his conversation was way more serious than the one they were asking James about. So, all right, we got to run. I thought that was a cool conversation.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation, man, because it affects a lot of people.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, Matthew Stafford. Staffords are living it up, and it's time to talk about Stafford's place. We'll get to that in just a moment.